is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, we take a look at what's going on in the Oregon State Legislature just about every Friday with State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having me. Glad to be here and not in Salem today.
Well, let's see here. If we can get the legislative countdown clock going, maximum days, how many do we have left?
So constitutionally, we have to be sine die by the 29th. So we have 9 days left. They are on the floor today. I took a day off to not be on the floor today. So we'll see how that ends. Right now, we're negotiating with the Senate to see if we go the full 9 more days. The real issue right now is we are, as Republican Party, even though we're in the minority party, we are denying them the ability to suspend the rules and move bills around. So we can do that. That takes the full 40 to get that vote, and they can't get there, which means a lot of their bills that are hot topics for them are way down the list. So they may or may not. They may not run the clock. They may end up, they may die.
Now, given that it's 9 days, is it more likely that, for instance, you would maybe work next Saturday?
If I was a betting man, I would probably tell you that I think you'll see the end of it on Wednesday.
Wow. So that would be 3 more days after today.
That would be 3 more days after tomorrow.
Let's see. So that's
after
right.
Friday, sorry.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, Sunday.
Right. So, but I mean, in terms of in-session days.
Yeah, but they can call session every day. I mean, we can work tomorrow, we can work Sunday, we can work 24 hours in a day, we can work the whole 24 if the speaker calls that. Now, of course, her side has to agree to that, but yeah.
Now, what's the likelihood, and is there a protocol, for instance, for the speaker to decide at 7 o'clock tonight that you're working tomorrow?
She could do that. Not likely that she would, but she could. And if that happens, then her side has to work too. I haven't looked at the second readings for today, but you know, bills have to be first read, second read, third read. There's second read coming out of committee and third read on the floor. So I don't know that the list is big enough to make it worth, you know, spending the time. So right now the Republicans own the schedule, and that's just the way the things roll. So there is power of the minority party. Sometimes it's by the clock.
What about the transportation package? We've talked a lot about that, but it's pretty much a very large topic at both sides of the aisle. Where is that? Is anything move forward?
Well, I believe there's a work session on it. I think they're planning today. The last 2 days, they've planned work sessions on it and canceled them, which means they have not got to a point where they're comfortable putting it through. Once it goes through a work session and it passes off the committee, it goes into the House, onto the House floor. It's a tax bill, so it has to start with us. And they need the votes, and I'm not sure they are convinced that they have the votes. And until they are, they probably aren't going to let it to the House floor, which also means the clock's running on it as well, and it takes time. Now, by us not advancing the schedule and allowing them to change things around, that is at the bottom of the schedule.
Wow. Now, if that didn't get through, what is the mechanism or what would take place for ODOT funding?
Well, a lot of things could happen. They could call back a special session to pass that. They could fund it from other sources. They could eliminate all of our projects and take away everything that we were going to work for with our districts and give it all to ODOT. I think it's lots of ways they could handle this. Emergency funds could handle it, although not likely because we're going into fire season, and I know they like to keep those funds available for fire. They would just be holding where they're at.
What about gun legislation? You talked last week about several things there. Where are those at?
Same thing. 3075, which is 114 on, you know, basically codifying 114, is kind of parked because Measure 114 is being challenged right now in the Supreme Court. So I think they're waiting to see what that challenge is, you know, how it's going to come back. 3076, I believe, is, if it didn't just have a work session, it's about to. And that is the one that, you know, basically wipes out federal firearms dealers in the whole darn state. That likely will, if they can get it through committee, there's a good chance we'll see that maybe Tuesday of next week on the House floor, potentially. And then Senate Bill 243, which is the capacity ban and all kinds of other garbage, it also is headed to the House. But schedule-wise, I haven't seen them pop up on the schedule yet.
What about other major legislation that's still hanging out there?
I mean, there's just a ton. I mean, literally, we started with 4,000 bills. We haven't put that many bills through. So there is a ton of bills. Mostly right now, the majority of the schedule is budget bills. And constitutionally, that's why we're there, right? As elected officials, our job is to pass the budget and keep the state running. So we will have to come back and do those. Now, that might be a special session if they keep monkeying around with the schedule. But the budget has to, you know, we can't shut the state down because the Democrats want to run crazy ideas. We can talk some more about that, but there's some really crazy stuff going on in the House right now.
Like what?
Oh, like drag queen shows?
Talk about that.
So, you know, part of the clock is the schedule, right? So as we come up with these bills and they have to go through the House and they go one at a time, we have the opportunity to make them read or we can suspend rules and they don't have to read. But, you know, that drag queen resolution was an hour and 25 minutes of time that the Democrats wasted. Now, you know, I have some folks who are like, well, they wasted all, you know, we pay for everybody to be there. Well, that's not true. The Republican Party, for the most part, left. We left the floor when it came up. That is an opening ceremony, so it happened prior to logging in for quorum. So we didn't have to be on the floor. And I've heard about the show. I did not see the show. I did not watch it. I have not watched it on Facebook or any other forms of media. I refuse to watch it because I do not think it was appropriate for the Oregon State Legislature to have had an opening ceremony with that kind of garbage in it. Now, we came back for the resolution and I voted no on the resolution. There was, like, I think, 9 of us that did. And of course it passed. But, the problem with not leaving for the day was we had Chuck Mawhinney's wife there. Chuck was a sniper from Vietnam era that has been, you know, he I don't remember how many kills he had, but, you know, a serviceman that we were also doing a memorial for. And, you know, unfortunately, we had to be there for that. And that happened right after the hour and 25 minutes of wasted time that we spent. So it was a sad day for the laughingstock of the country, as a matter of fact, right now.
Now, I understand the man you talked about. I have read a little bit about that. If I remember correctly, he is at the top of the list on credited kills from that period of time. Yeah. And had this incredible record in that area and something that would be a very tough skill to have and mentally be able to keep, keep going. But his whole service in that area, he'd stayed incredibly quiet about. And I guess a number of years ago, another person that worked with him put a book out.
Correct.
And that's where it kind of got out there. And everybody in, I know we had connections in Baker County mm-hmm. and one of the other counties. I don't remember which one.
I don't remember either. He was an avid hunter. In fact, when he enlisted to go into the military, he waited until after hunting season so he could go into the military. And then, of course, he got into being a sniper. And he had the most confirmed kills, I think, over 800 yards or something along those lines. And, you know, we memorialized him. He's obviously passed away. But he was an Oregonian and a hero, an armed services hero, saved thousands of American lives. And that was much more important than having a drag queen show, in my opinion.
And I understand that some of his family made it for that.
Yes, his wife was there. That was a little bit concerning that, you know, I mean, we didn't want her to have to witness what was going on the floor. And so she didn't. She, you know, none of your Republicans, I believe, have any issues with drag queens. Nobody, you know, that's fine. I mean, I was on Lars Larson this week and he asked me, you know, what was the point in this? I said, well, you know, none of us really have a problem with drag queens. I mean, I paid to go see shows before that. You know, that kind of stuff happens, and it's just fine. It was the time and the place. It was a disgrace to the Oregon legislature that we would have that type of thing come in. And Lars said, well, you know, what was the reason? Well, I think they're trying to normalize it to make it normal. Just like, you know, they want it to be normal that they come in and they read storybooks to kids in school while they're in drag. I don't think that's normal, and I think that they want to also make it normal. I believe how do you make it more normal than doing it in front of the entire Oregon legislature? That's I guess that's where they're going with it, but I don't know. It was pretty sad and, frankly, quite embarrassing.
And I understand this sort of tied into they did it partly because it was Juneteenth.
Yeah, of course. And that's fine. I mean, you know, honoring black people there's many, many black heroes, many, many black folks, you know, in the country and in the state that have done amazing things. And that's fine. That's what Juneteenth was all about. But they turned this into a clown show, frankly. And as much as I hate to say it, it just is what it is.
All right, back with more in a moment. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Monday, State Senator David Brocksmith joining us from Salem as the state legislature continues for a few more days. Second District State Representative Virgil Osborne representing the Roseburg, greater Roseburg area in here this afternoon. When you look at all the things that maybe you're not happy about, what about things in the session that have been accomplished that you are happy about?
Well, there's... You asked me that question last week, Kyle. There's not a lot of happy stuff that's going on right now. We did pass a bill, and I don't remember the number, yesterday off the House floor that gave senior citizens a break on, not just taxes, but mostly a tax break, which I think was good. And there's also some other stuff working out there that are cutting some slack to some folks. I think that those are important, and I actually did speak to the bill on the floor, and I said, we should be taking care of our senior citizens, and while we're doing that, I think we should also do that by not passing a transportation package that is going to add, you know, literally $400, $500 a month to their cost of living in some cases. So I wish I had a list of really great things that is happening, but other than some, we did pass a wolf depredation bill that increased the repayment to the ranchers, so when wolves kill their cattle, it increases the amount of payback that the state has to pay. But we've yet to fund that, and that's also something that's kind of being held hostage by the Democrat Party to see whether or not we actually are able to fund it. But there's a lot of that kind of good stuff going on, so we got a lot more work to do.
As you kind of look through things that have happened in the recent weeks, we talked about this before, but I wondered if there was anything that's come up since then. Dutch Bros announcing that its corporate headquarters was leaving Grants Pass, going to Phoenix, Arizona. And has that been talked about much by legislators in terms of losing a company's, at least the headquarters, and of that big a company?
No, it's not something. I mean, yes, of course, the Republican Party's been talking about it a lot because it's one more business exiting the state. I think the bigger topic right now for business is with Intel laying off, potentially, I think they're going to lay off 15 to 20% of their workforce. These are all things that happen when a state is just business unfriendly, and that's what's going on right now. It's so expensive to do business in the state of Oregon that people are just leaving. I mean, businesses are going, you know, hey, it's much more business friendly to do business in Nevada or Arizona or Idaho or wherever, so it to the point where it's less expensive for them to move their entire operations to another state rather than stay here in Oregon. I don't understand why we cannot figure that out. I mean, I think it's clear and present, you know, why it's happening, but we don't seem to be doing anything except adding to the burden of business in this state. God help us if we have another, you know, COVID scare or something along those lines and shut down businesses again. Our state is teetering right now on going over the edge of being really, really in a bad financial way.
What takes place in state government to try to get businesses to locate here?
Well, that's, you have to do things like, you know, offer tax incentives. You have to offer, you know, right now this whole entire session has been ran by the union. I mean, the union bills have sailed through this session, and unions continue to press the price of labor cost way up. And the state's making it mandatory now. You use union labor on state projects and you know, this type of thing. And when you continue to increase the cost of labor, which is typically the most expensive part of your business, when you continue to increase that, then businesses don't want to come here, they can't start. So between bureaucracy, DEQ, and the cost of labor and taxes, of course, that really we really need to go after some of that stuff. We need to cut back the bureaucracy. We need to pull back the reins on our agencies that live off fines, like DEQ, Title V. Permits have been crazy. I mean, you can't get one. You can't do business in the state. You can't operate anything that pollutes anything. I mean, all of those things are just the start of where we need to go to start working to get things back to where people want to come here and start a business.
One of the things I haven't heard much about, more on the recreation side of things, is the state park system. Any thoughts about how that's being managed?
I mean, I think that's probably the one system in the state I think that's actually handled pretty well. I mean, Oregon Parks and Rec does a great job for the most part. I mean, somebody's always going to have an issue with something they're doing, but I think they're fairly well funded. I think they take pretty good care of our parks and they use the money wisely that we're, you know, a lot of, like within the OHV Oversight Committee part, they're getting their money from gas taxes and that money is spent by committee and they decide where the money goes. I think that's being ran pretty well.
Now, and you have, because of the state being known for its parks, that kind of brings some tourism from adjoining states, too.
It does, but then you make it so hard on tourists to be here, like increasing the TLT tax or, you know, changing things around. You make it expensive to be a tourist. And then you make it hard for businesses that cater to tourism to exist. For instance, the insurance issue right now, there's a liability problem with ski resorts. They're trying, you know, insurance. They're basically in this state that we're trying to keep it where you can be sued for anything. Even if you go up on a ski mountain and you break your leg because you're up there skiing, you can turn around and sue the resort because you broke your own leg, you know, and you took the risk. Those are the kind of things that we have got to stop. Otherwise, the ski resorts are going to shut down as well.
And have we heard anything more from the federal side about less funding coming to Oregon because of all the federal changes and also because of the back and forth between the president and the governor?
Well, DOJ is starting to do some investigations on elections, from my understanding. So, I mean, there's some stuff out there. I do believe that the West Coast in general is in the federal government's crosshairs right now. But no, we haven't had anything specifically come out and say, hey, you guys are going to lose this funding. I think it's a given. I think being a sanctuary state, we are going to lose our funding at some point. And that's a decision where our leadership, right from the governor down to the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, they got to make some decisions. It's like, it's time to either take care of the citizens or we can continue on this path of destruction and then we'll have nothing left and our citizens are leaving. We literally have lost citizens. The numbers in the state have dropped and I get countless emails, people telling me they're moving out of the state. I hate it. I mean, I love this state. I love this county. I love where I live, but people can't afford to be here anymore.
And I've heard, I don't know if we're at a risk point, but some concern was expressed that if this trend continues, we're only halfway through, that we could lose a congressional seat after the next census.
I think that's given. I think that's going to happen. And that'll be Bynum's seat. Janelle Bynum's seat, I think, will go away. Because the population dropped. Frankly, it's pretty sad.
And I know California is expected to lose quite a few seats.
Yep. People are exiting these blue states as fast as they can. And again, it's a trend I hate to see. I don't want to see this. But this transportation package alone is a $2 billion package that they're trying to push on us that we will pay in taxes. And we're going to pay it at the gas pump. We're going to pay it in our road use fees. $2 billion. In 10 years, it's going to be it'll be over $15 billion in new taxes. The most expensive tax increase in the state's history is what they're trying to end with in the next 3 days.
Before we wrap up, what is ahead in the next 3 days? What do you think it's going to, how's it going to go?
We're in heavy negotiations right now with the Democrat Party to try to end this thing, right? To stop this. I really don't know where it's going to go. It could go south and we could end up passing all these crazy bills. And then you're going to see hopefully you'll see some people lose their seats in 26 and we maybe can turn the state a little bit more business friendly and people friendly. But it's hard to say. I can't say, Kyle.
So you think Wednesday, though, will be the day?
If I'm a betting man, I'm saying Wednesday. Worst case, Thursday, but I think you're going to see the end this week. I'm sure you will.
All right, you heard it there. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oceanside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.